If you stood with your back to the main entrance lobby of the guide offices, assuming you had landed by now and freshened up with a quick dip and shower, and then walked east, you would pass along the leafy shade of Life Boulevard, be amazed by the pale golden colour of the beaches stretching away to your left, astounded by the mind surfers floating carelessly along 2 feet above the waves as if this was nothing special, surprised and eventually slightly irritated by the giant palm trees that hum tuneless nothings throughout the daylight hours, in other words, continuously. If you then walked to the end of Life Boulevard, you would enter the Lalamatine district of shops, bowler nut trees and pavement cafes where the UM Beatons come to relax after a hard afternoon's relaxation on the beach. The Lalamatine district is one of those very few areas which doesn't enjoy a perpetual Saturday afternoon. It enjoys instead the cool of a perpetual early Saturday evening. Behind it lie the nightclubs. If, on this particular day, afternoon, stretch of evening time, call it what you will, you had approached the second pavement cafe on the right, you would have seen the usual crowd of UM Beatons chatting, drinking, looking very relaxed, and casually glancing at each other's watches to see how expensive they were. You would also have seen a couple of rather dishevelled-looking hitchhikers from Algol, who had recently arrived on an Arcturan mega-freighter aboard which they had been roughing it for a few days. They were angry and bewildered to discover that here, within sight of the Hitchhiker's Guide building itself, a simple glass of fruit juice cost the equivalent of over 60 Altarian dollars. "Sell out," one of them said bitterly. If, at that moment, you had then looked at the next table but one, you would have seen Zaphod Beeblebrox sitting and looking very startled and confused. The reason for his confusion was that 5 seconds earlier, he had been sitting on the bridge of the starship Heart of Gold. "Absolute sellout," said the voice again. Zaphod looked nervously out of the corners of his eyes at the two dishevelled hitchhikers at the next table. Where the hell was he? How had he got there? Where was his ship? His hand felt the arm of the chair on which he was sitting, and then the table in front of him. They seemed solid enough. He sat very still. "How can they sit and write a guide for hitchhikers in a place like this?" continued the voice. "I mean, look at it. Look at it." Zaphod was looking at it. Nice place, he thought. But where? And why? He fished in his pocket for his two pairs of sunglasses. In the same pocket he felt a hard, smooth, unidentified lump of very heavy metal. He pulled it out and looked at it. He blinked at it in surprise. Where had he got that? He returned it to his pocket and put on the sunglasses, annoyed to discover that the metal object had scratched one of the lenses. Nevertheless, he felt much more comfortable with them on. They were a double pair of Jujanta 200 super-chromatic peril-sensitive sunglasses, which had been specially designed to help people develop a relaxed attitude to danger. At the first hint of trouble, they turn totally black and thus prevent you from seeing anything that might alarm you. Apart from the scratch, the lenses were clear. He relaxed, but only a little bit. The angry hitchhiker continued to glare at his monstrously expensive fruit juice. "Worst thing that ever happened to the guide moving to Ursa Minor Beta," he grumbled. "They've all gone soft. You know, I've even heard that they've created a whole electronically synthesized universe in one of their offices so they can go and research stories during the day and still go to parties in the evening. Not that day and evening mean much in this place." Ursa Minor Beta, thought Zaphod. At least he knew where he was now. He assumed that this must be his great-grandfather's doing, but why? Much to his annoyance, a thought popped into his mind. It was very clear and very distinct, and he had now come to recognise these thoughts for what they were. His instinct was to resist them. They were the preordained promptings from the dark and locked-off parts of his mind. He sat still and ignored the thought furiously. It nagged at him. He ignored it. It nagged at him. He ignored it. It nagged at him. He gave into it. What the hell, he thought. Go with the flow. He was too tired, confused, and hungry to resist. He didn't even know what the thought meant.